Okay, welcome everyone, and it's a pleasure to learn before Purim. So I chose a topic that we haven't spoken about in many, many years, and that is the topic of drinking on Purim. And our title, I think, gives away a little bit of where we're trying to head in terms of our understanding. Drinking on Purim, mandate or menace? So our goal is not to encourage any risky behavior. Is goes without saying that even before this conversation gets off the ground, there's no question that safety and health is our absolute top priority in halacha, and nothing we're going to say tonight will contradict that. But there is a concept of drinking on Purim. We can't pretend that there's not, even if we want people to be very, very cautious and very, very careful. And we have to understand where it comes from. So what I'd like to do tonight is the shiur is really divided into two parts. The first part is a fascinating halachic analysis of this question. Is there indeed a mitzvah to drink on Purim? And the second part is going to be a deeper understanding of why we would have such a mitzvah, why we would have such a an expectation when, you know, it just doesn't seem to be really resonant with the way in which we generally celebrate things, at least in terms of the way it's expected by the Torah. Okay, so let's begin. This whole story starts in, do you have a source? Do we have another booklet? We have everyone have a booklet? Great. This whole story begins with the Gemara in Megillah. Maseches Megillah is a Masechta of Gemara that is all about the holiday of Purim. There are two rabbinic holidays in Judaism. One is Purim, the other is Hanukkah. The most recent one is Yom HaTzmaut. But Purim and Hanukkah, Hanukkah does not have its own Masechta. Purim does. Contrary to what a yeshiva high school student commented to me the other day, in another context, Shavuos also does not have its own Masechta. That Masechta is not about staying up all night and eating cheesecake. So not all the holidays have their own Masechta, but Megillah does. So the Gemara tells us in Megillah, Amar Rava. So Rava makes the following statement. Mechayiv inish livisume. I think when the yeshiva bachrim sing this in an intoxicated form, they drop the conjugation of Mechayiv. I think the song, although I'm not sure if we can be medakdek from their lishonos, is chayiv inish livisume. But the Gemara says mechayiv inish livisume. A person is obligated livisume. Livisume is a strange word. It's not a familiar word. The word we usually use to refer to intoxication is lihishtaker, to become drunk. Livisume seems to mean something else, to become tipsy, to become inebriated in some way, bipuria on Purim. Ad delo yada, until a person, how much do you have to drink? Until a person does not know, bein Arur Haman le Baruch Mordechai. The difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. That is the only halachic statement in all of Shas that refers to any sort of obligation to drink on Purim. A line and a half of Aramaic, and it's interesting. First of all, it's interesting that just we have such an obligation. It's interesting that it says Mechayev. Chayiv is a very strong word in the context of Shas. Chayiv means it's an obligation, right? Where does such an obligation come from? You can't just invent an obligation. You could say, no, hey, this is what we do. You could say, tov, it's good to do something. To say mechayiv, that's a serious formulation. Mechayiv inish levisume puria, and there's a shir. There seems to be a specific amount. How much do you have to drink? Adilo yada bein Arur Haman le Baruch Mordechai. That sounds like a lot, right? Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai are pretty clear concepts. The fact that Haman should be cursed, Mordechai should be blessed, to drink to the level of intoxication that I would confuse things that are diametrically opposite from each other would seem to be pretty substantial. If we wanted to just indicate a little bit of inebriation, so we would have presumably used a shear that might have been a little bit less than that. Right, but to really be so wasted that you can't even tell the difference between things that are polar opposite from each other. Right, when a person's faculties are compromised by wine, so initially, so things that you know, you know, it looks like the car is over here, but really it's over there. Could you walk the straight line? Can you, you know, do you get a little confused? Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, not to know the difference between those two things, that would seem to be a lot. So that's the statement of the Gemara, that's the halachic statement. Then the Gemara says the following. Gemara tells a story. Rabba and Rabbi Zeira. So Rabba and Rabbi Zeira, Avdu Seudas Purim Behadeh Hadadi. They made their Purim Seudas together. So Rabba and Rabbi Zeira, they got together and they have Purim Seudah. If some, and they became intoxicated, they drank. Come Rabba, so Rabba was so into it, Shachtei l'Rabbi Zeira. He shechted Rabbi Zeira. He killed him. Okay, very bad. L'machar, the next day, so he woke up from this, I guess, drunkenness. He realized that that's a terrible way to end the Purim Seudah. Here his friend Rabbi Zeira invited them to hang out together, to be together, to celebrate Purim together. And here he killed him. That's terrible. So, Boy Rachme, so he davened for Rabbi Zeira. Ve'achye, and he was revived. So first of all, that's an extraordinary story, right? To talk about Amoraim involved in Tchiyas HaMesim, right? We're not in the era of Nevi'im here now. Like, that itself is a very strange story. But then there's a coda to the story. So Lashana, so the next year, when everybody was organizing their, what do they call these things when the shuls do all the shalachmanas, centralized shalachmanas that we do now, you know, the distributive, you know, where everybody's right. So they're all organizing the Shalach Manas and picking their theme, and you know, Rabba's wife is like, okay, let's do Chinese this year, and let's say, you know, like everybody's trying to get everything together. So Lashana Amar Leinesi Ma'ar B'Nevet Sudas Purim Ba'ade Adoni. So Rabba opens his inbox, and there's an invitation, or Rabbi Zeira opens his inbox, there's an invitation from the family of Rabba. You are invited, because of course we don't call people and invite them to anything anymore, or send something, God forbid, in the mail, right? We send the Evite, right? And the very formal, very, you have to click on the thing, and then you're all invited. Then you get to see everybody who was invited and everyone who was not invited, right? So, right? So they send the Evite, and Rabbi Zeira gets it in his inbox, and he looks at this, and he says to himself, I don't know if I want to have Purim Seudah with the Rabba family again, right? That, so he hits not accept, he hits reject. So Amar Leh, lo b'chol shata v'shata misrachei shnisa. I'm not having Purim Seudah with you. I'll go find another Amora. You're a very dangerous guy to hang out with. I'm not interested in the Rabba plan for a Purim celebration. This is not a good plan because maybe we won't have a miracle. And that's the end of this story. So this is the Gemara. This is the entire source of this custom, of this obligation to drink on Purim. And that is a statement in halacha, chayev inish livsumei ad lo yada bit or haman lebaruch Mordechai, and then this story of Rabba and Rabbi Zeira. And the question that the poskim and the mefarshim and the rishonim deal with is, what is the relationship between the first part of this text and the second part of this text? In other words, the Gemara made an affirmative statement that you're supposed to drink on Purim. Then the Gemara told a crazy story that would seem to argue for not drinking on Purim. So what is that story? Is that story a cautionary tale? Is that story telling us that you should be very, very careful because look what could happen, even with tzaddikim, and you should be very, very careful? Or is that story speaking to the halachic nature of the initial text itself? Is that story... So that's what the Rishonim discuss. So first, the first source we have is the Marsha. The Marsha, first of all, says, don't take this so literally, the story part. The Marsha says, Davar tamuahu lefarsho kepashte, you can't explain this in its simple fashion. Menira delot salomar ke'en shachte. Don't think that Imamish killed him. It's not Shaykh. Not Shaykh that Amoraim had a Purim Seudah that got so out of hand that one actually killed the other, even though that's what the word shachte means. What it means is, Rabba pressured, a lot of peer pressure to Rabbi Zeira, that he should drink more and more and more and more, and he eventually got sick. He was so sick, he had alcohol poisoning. He was so sick, we know, alcohol poisoning could be life-threatening, that he almost died. Shchita. That's why he uses this lashon of shchita. To shasi ayayin nikra al shem garon, because the wine that was drunk that created the illness went through his throat. Makom shchita. That's the makom of shchita. So in other words, don't think that this Purim Suda was a group of rabbis who got so out of hand that they had a violent expression of their relation and one of them literally killed the other. No. It's referring to the Seuda itself. The Seuda itself, one of them pressured the other one well beyond what he should have, and as a result he got very sick, deathly ill, potentially deathly ill. So he davened that he shouldn't die from this terrible thing. Until he got healed, and then he lived. So what does that mean? So says the Maharsha, that's the story. The story is that that Rabbi Zeira and Rabba had this Purim Suda. One of them pressured the other to drink too much. As a result, they got sick. He davened and he came back to life. So when he went and he offered to have Purim Suda again, Rabbi Zeira looked at him and said, I'm not interested in having Purim Suda with you because who knows what will happen. Maybe you'll pressure me again. I got very sick last year. So the Maharsha already mitigates this a little bit. If we look in the Gedolei HaPoskim, if we look in the Rishonim that we generally turn to for Psak Halacha, they take this Gemara pretty much at face value. The Rif, which is a halachic compendium, the Rif only quotes the first part of the Gemara. The Rif says, Amar Rabba, Mechayiv Inish Livsumei Bepuria, Adelo Yodab, Embarach Mordechai, La'arar Haman, and then he's on to the next part of the Gemara. He does not quote the story at all. So the Rif seems to hold that one is obligated to drink on Purim. He takes the statement of Rabba. The story that follows presumably is just intended to warn us about the dangers of drinking too much, about the dangers maybe of pressuring each other to drink too much. We should be very careful, we should be safe, we should be healthy, but fundamentally there's an obligation to do this. The Torah writes the following. Also, Poshet, that one should go ahead and drink until they don't know the difference between Arar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Now we get to the Ran. The Ran quotes the Rabbeinu Ephraim. The Rabbeinu Ephraim from the Balei Atosis. And he says the following. Look at source number 5. The cause of Rabbeinu Ephraim, Me'ahu Uvda. From this story, the Kam Rabba v'shachtei l'Rabbi Zeira. This crazy story that Rabba went ahead and he shechted Rabbi Zeira. K'deisa b'gimara, idchile meimra d'rova, v'lo shapir dami l'mevad hochi. Says the Ran, the Gemara's, it's not a halachic section and then a nice story, and a godic section. The whole Gemara goes together. And when the Gemara brought this story, the Gemara was intending to reject the din of Rava. So Rava says everybody's obligated to get drunk. The Gemara says, let me tell you a story. And based on that story, says the Ran, there's no more din. We're done. There is no obligation whatsoever to drink on Purim at all. And that is the conclusion of the Gemara according to the Ran. The Bala Maor believes that as well. If you look at source number 6, Amar Rabba, Mechayev Inish Lipsume Bepuria. And by the way, if you notice, there are different girsos, whether or not the author of the halakhic statement was Rava or Rabba, whether or not the person in the story is also the same Amora that made this statement initially. If they were, then it makes even more sense that it's rejecting. In other words, I initially said that a person should do this, and then after having this experience, presumably reneged. So he also quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim, and he writes in the third line at the end, "Bless Ilchasa Kavose, that we don't hold of the Memra of Rabba, v'lo Shapir Dami Lemevet Hachi, you can't do this." The Sefer HaEshko, which is also a very early Rishon, 12th century, in source number 7, I'm sorry, the words are a little small, he quotes our Gemara, Amar Rav V'chayim Yishusim Adol Yodam and Baruch Mordechai L'Or Haman, Perish. So he says the following. What does it mean? So again, so we're going to see. Some opinions say that, so we saw some Rishonim say that the din of Rava is preserved. That's what we saw in the Rif, and that's what we saw in the Tur. Some Rishonim say the din of Rava is gone completely. Completely nilcha. That's what we saw in the Rabbeinu Ephraim. That's what we saw in the Baal Amor. That's what we saw in the Ran. Some Rishonim take a little bit more of a middle ground. In other words, the story is meant to mitigate, not expel, not completely undermine the din of Rava, but it's meant to shape, it's meant to reshape and give us pause about what exactly that din was. So one of the things we talked about is the fact that there was a shear. There is an amount that's given. Arar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. So Sefer Eshkol says, you don't have to become so intoxicated that you literally can't tell the difference between polar opposites of each other. That's a tremendous amount of alcohol, right? Elamai, perish yula kadmonim shir, uvisiyo machozrim, amru pamachas baruch morgai pamachas arhaman pamachas bruch esther pamachas arura zeresh. There used to be a song, and this song that was written had as part of the refrain, sometimes it would say arhaman, sometimes say baruch morgai, sometimes say ar zeresh, sometimes say baruch harvo, whatever it was. And that song was a difficult song to keep track, which line is corresponding to which person. If you're not following it very carefully, so then and your mindset is not completely clear, it's very difficult to. So when the Gemara says Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, it doesn't mean the difference between good and bad. It means that you're not able to have your mental consciousness focused enough that you could be discerning to be accurate in the singing of this song. So what is the Sefer Eshkol doing? The Sefer Eshkol is saying, there is a din of Chai ben Shlib Sumei. And there is a shir of Adelo Yoda ben Baruch Hama ben Baruch. See, I'm already. Right? Adelo Yoda ben Baruch Mordechai la'ar Hama. Elamai. That shir, the story, sort of informs how we interpret that shir. It's not that you have to become so intoxicated that you can't tell. You become a little tipsy, you drink a little bit, you have a little cup of wine. That's the name quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim. and that's his din. Look at the Me'iri in source number 8. The Me'iri, we're at the second paragraph on the right side. Chayev adam laharbos besimcha biyom zev achilu v'shtiya ad shelo yechzar shum dover. So the Meiri is the first one of the Rishonim to sort of really challenge this whole concept. The Meiri says, Mikom makom, ein anu mitzuvim lishtaker lahavchis atzmenu mitoch asimcha. So it's not shaykh, it's not possible that we have an obligation to become drunk and lose ourselves in the context of joy. This is not a Jewish concept. This is not a Jewish concept. Shalonit stavinu al simcha shel hololus v'shel shtus. Where do we ever find, ever, in the context of Judaism, a sanctification of losing our inhibitions and just becoming silly and ridiculous and nonsensical? Who's ever heard of such a thing? Right? Unfortunately, today, sometimes you'll go to like a wedding or even... not a wedding, even a bar mitzvah, whatever, you know, where there's an open bar and you see people that, you know, get themselves all buzzed up and they're walking around and, you know, it's very nice. They're doing it in the name of Simchas Chasson Vekala, but they're not enhancing the simcha. They're loud. They're not in control of themselves. They're being ridiculous. They're being silly. We don't believe that's not Simchas Chasson Vekala. It's not a beautiful thing. That's a terrible thing. That's not... Who's ever heard of such a thing? So, Ela b'simcha shel tanug sheyagia mitoch la'avas Hashem yisparach v'odol anisim she'asa lanu. Now, Jews believe in enjoying themselves, right? The famous line, they tried to kill us, we won, let's eat, right? That summarizes every Jewish holiday, right? Of course we believe in having a suda and enjoying ourselves, a sense of simcha, you know, mishta v'yayin, basar v'yayin, there should be food. No one's trying to take that away. But who's ever heard of, but that's supposed to lead to avas Hashem. It's supposed to lead to something holy, to something sanctified. To lose ourselves in an inebriation of alcohol and just become completely wasted to the point you don't even know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. Who's ever heard of such a thing? So the Meiri could not literally stomach the incongruency of this din to the rest of everything he knows about the values of Yadus and how we behave and how we comport ourselves.
And it's the first time he's connecting Simcha with Yayin here.
Correct, correct. Umasha Omar Khan, we're going to see more about that. Umasha Omar Khan, Adshalo Yodav, Ar Haman, Lebarach Mordechai. Kfar Perishuk Tzatzka, Onim Shemimashi, Iskir Acharov, Kam Rabba, Shachte, Rabbi Seira, Ninchu Kolosam Advarim. So then he quotes those that say that we're Doche all of this. Ulinian Beer, Miozeh, Shamra bin Ar Haman. Mashem Rabbatam and Amar Shesarach Lamer Echad Mikra Megillah Arar Haman Baruch Mordechai Brucha Esther Arura Zeresh Shesarach Lamer Chavarin Zachur Latov. And he just says what this is all coming to. So the Meiri also is in the camp of this is not something we do, and he builds it out a little bit more that it's just this is inconsistent with the values of Torah and how we conduct ourselves. The Rav Yah, also an early Rishon from Germany, he's the first one to start to sort of halachically categorize this recalibration of the statement of Rava. And he says, Amar in source number 9, Amar Rabba, Mechayiv Inish Lipsumei Nafshei, Adelo Yodav in Arar Haman Lebarach Mordechai, Vinire, Dechol Hani Tzarech Lemitzvah Be'alma, Velo Le'ikuv. This is, you know, this concept that you drink something at the Purim Suda, this isn't a essential component of Purim. This is, okay, if this is something you want to add to your Purim, so he basically takes that word mechayev and essentially just dismisses its literal connotation and says, no, this concept is, you want to have a little to drink because it's Purim and it'll add to your simcha, have a little to drink. Excuse me, but it's not at all a requirement, it's not a fundamental mitzvah. I saw a tshuva this week, which I did not include because I wasn't sure that it, even having this tshuva sent the right message. But the tshuva was a very lumdish tshuva, so it was interesting. The tshuva was written by somebody who knows a lot of halacha. I don't know, it's a posek, but written by someone who knows a lot of halacha. And the question was, he was hosting Purim in his house, and a boy came in, I guess to collect money or whatever, and says, you know, I want to make l'chaim with you. So this Talmud Chacham says, I only make l'chaims with younger people if their parents give explicit permission. Otherwise, no l'chaim. So the boy says, well, my parents explicitly told me I couldn't. But who cares? After all, we know. And if your parents tell you to violate one of the mitzvot HaTorah, right, you don't have to listen to them, right? How does the pasuk go? That Ishimo vaviv tiro es shabsosai tishmoru ani Hashem. If your parents tell you to be mechal Shabbos, you don't listen to your parents. You don't say akibud ave'em, right? You don't listen to your parents. Parents can't tell you to be mechal Shabbos. So what should be the answer? The answer should be that's ridiculous, right? The answer should just be that's absurd. Instead, there's a very long tshuva. Trying to be choker is the chiyuv of chayiv in shlipsumei a mitzvah. In which case, maybe you don't have to listen to your parents. Or is it just a reshus? Is it just, you know, a idea of the alma that you can, you know. So, putting aside the obvious, you know, troubling elements of that whole assumption, but this is what the Sefer HaEshkol is getting at, that it's not required. The Kolbo brings this to another level, another layer. The Kolbo writes the following. Adam Livsume Bipurya, Lo Shiishtaker. So the Kolbo says, very prominent Sefer Halacha. The Beis Yosef relies on the Kolbo tremendously. We're not entirely sure who wrote the Kolbo, but we know that all of the Gedolei Aposkim incorporate him, you know, tremendously. Shashichrus Isser Gomor, getting drunk is obviously completely Usser. Ve'ein Lecha Aveira Gedolei Mizu. There's no greater avera than this. Shehu garim legili arayis v'shvichas damim. It leads to promiscuity. It leads to murder. Ulekama averos zulasam and many other averos like them. Ach sheyishte, but rather, what should a person do? Yoser milimudo meat kedei sheyir balismoach. So he gives a new shir, right? Which is, and this whole thing is very interesting because Rabba's statement included the chiyuv and the shir. There is no other source for this obligation. It's certainly not in the Megillah, so there is no other source for this obligation. So once the Rishonim start pulling the statement apart, it's just interesting in terms of their analysis. Try to understand like where that's coming from. But the Kolbo suggestion is that we accept the obligation to drink something on Purim, but how much should you drink? Forget the Adalo Yoda. Should drink a little bit more than you're used to. A little bit more than you're used to. So if at a normal meal where you're drinking wine, you have a half a cup, you drink a little bit more than a half a cup. You'll drink a whole cup, right? So at the Glasser home, on a really wild, wild Friday night, where we break out the Rashi and the Bar Tanura and the Abarba, we drink by Rishonim. We drink in the Glasser home, okay? And I always had an idea to give a shir with all of these, a Tanakh shir, with all of these different wines. This would be a great Purim shir, you know? And as you learn each one, you switch off the, right? So the, so if we usually drink one cup of Rashi wine, right? Which probably includes, I don't know, like a few milliliters of alcohol. So, you know, you'll drink two cups, right? You can get it really going. And, you know, and you should see what goes on when we really let it out. You know, it's quite a sight. So, right? You drink a little bit more. You don't drink a lot more. Yishter yoser milimudo me'at. Why? Kadesh yir belismoach. Because what he's saying is, if in a normal context of normal, responsible, safe, healthy social drinking, you drink a certain amount, so in Purim, there is an inyan to be a little bit more lismach than you usually are, so you push it a little bit. The Bach, in source number 11, pulls all these shittas together, and he says, the following is like kipshuto, the tzorch shishtacher har be'adalo yoda klal, machilok bein, yesh bein ar haman lebarach Mordechai, that this is karov l'shchiruso shalot. This is almost as much shikr as lot. So what the Bach is bringing up that no one's brought up so far is that in Sefer Bereishis, you know, wine is treated as something that's very unhealthy. It's very dangerous, right? And that's a whole separate discussion, which we're not really getting into now, which is outside the context of Purim, where we're looking at wine as a vehicle for Simcha. How do we view wine in general? Because, you know, when you look at the narrative in Parshas Noach and the story of Lot and his daughters, wine is presented as something that's very dangerous and detrimental and something. However, wine was used on the Mizbeach, wine is used in Kiddush, wine is used when we get married, right? Well, the Masadre Kedushin, no, Rabbi Wasserman told me when he gave me my special Cedar Kedushin briefcase. Rabbi Wasserman gave me a briefcase for every life cycle that I would be involved with. He gave me a special briefcase with all sorts of tools inside that could be helpful with that. I had a funny thing happen. I once took the Avelus one. Was a black, like, leather briefcase. And I had a Levaya in Lakewood. And I was doing the Levaya, but I didn't know the family that the family was meeting at. So I show up at their door, and I knock on their door, and I have a long trench coat, and I'm carrying this black briefcase, and the person opens the door, and they look at me, and they say to me, "Not now. The family, we just had a tragedy. We can't take care of you now." So I said to myself, okay, this isn't working. You know, so that was the end of walking around with the briefcase. But I still use all those items and have them accessible. So what's the point of the... So everybody knows, all the Masadri Kedushin know, that when you use wine at the wedding, you never use red. You only use white wine because... You know, the wine gets shaken up, everybody's nervous, everybody's moving, everybody's, you don't want to get anything on the dress or on anything else. So wine in general, we, you know, that's a separate conversation. That's something we could discuss another time. But you'd want to ask, how could we get shikr like this? You know, look what happened, look at the story even of the Gemara. Vanochon, so he paskins like Rabbeinu Ephraim. The mehachuv to the shachte Rabbi Rabbi Zera inchilek meimer de Rava. We got rid of the meimer of Rava. V'lav shapri lemevarachi. You shouldn't do it. Rekosu Balamor, the Haram that we saw. Venira the Mehach Taima Sidir Bala Talmud Lahach Upto the Rabbi Rabbi Zera Basar Memor the Rava. So he wants to say, this is why, says the Bach, remember, when you read the Gemara, you're not reading a chronological historical document. The discussions did not happen chronologically in the order they're presented. There was an editor to the Talmud that put everything together in a flow that has its own thematic internal logic. So it wasn't that Rava made this statement in a shir, and then he went to Purim night, and then he went the next day, and this happened. These two things were completely independent of each other. They may have even happened in a different generation. One was a statement, Chai Benish Lipsume. The other was a story of Rabbi Rabbi Zeira. The very fact that Ravina Ravashi, who compiled the Gemara together, the very fact that they juxtaposed the two together, why did they do that? There's a whole Maseches Megillah to tell stories. And also it interrupts the flow, because the Gemara over there on Daf Zayin is listing halachas from Rava about Suda Sporim. So why are you telling stories? Why are you digressing? It must be that the story is not just a story. It's not a piece of a gadata. This is a culminating directive that relates to the initial halachic argument. And therefore it's saying that yes, this tradition is out there. Chai v'inish l'psumi b'puri adalo yoda. But you should know, based on this story, it was ultimately rejected. Then the Bach says something very interesting. He said, you should know that the dichui was not in Rava's statement that you should drink. The dichui was in the shir. That's what they didn't like. This Adelo Yoda ben Arar Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. Aval miu tzarech lishtos arbe milimudo sheyitav libo v'mishte v'yehei shasui o afilu shikr shenu yochel adabir lifnei amelech rak shtei dato alov. He says there is a mitzvah. He splits. He says there is a mitzvah to drink. The story was not intended to say that we don't hold there's a mitzvah to drink at all. There is a mitzvah to drink. There's not a mitzvah to drink adelo yodab ben araham on the baruch mordechai. It's a mitzvah to drink more than you usually do, as opposed to the kolbo, who said, sheyishte yoser milimudu me'at. He says, harbe. Okay, you have to figure out what that means. But it doesn't mean that you get yourself to a place that you're not in control of how you're thinking and what you're doing. What does the Rambam say? So the Rambam introduces a new approach. The Rambam says, keitzad, how does this work? Seudas Purim. Chova Seuda Zu, Sheyachal Basar. First of all, the Rambam says he eat fleshiks. V'yitakin Seuda Noah. Make a nice Seuda. Kafisha Timtze Yado, according to what you can do. V'shose Yayin, and you drink wine. Ad Sheyishtaker, until you become drunk. V'yirdeim B'shichruso, and you go to sleep in your Shichrus. I mean, you drink enough that you get a little woozy and tired, and you find yourself going to sleep. The Aruch HaShulchan, very interesting in interpreting this Rambam in source number 13. Says, based on the Rambam's interpretation, so then why did the Gemara use the formulation of Adelo Yoda ben Araham and LeBaruch Mordechai? Should have just said that you should drink until you fall asleep. So he says something so interesting. So if I was reading this Rambam, what would you say? Did the Rambam accept or reject Rava? Did the Rambam accept or reject the halacha that you should become drunk? Sounds like he accepted it, right? He said that the story is a story. It's a good story. It's a cautionary tale. But it sounds like he accepts it. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Ela shedachar mama zeh mehalocha. Kemo shekosav Rambam Rabbeinu Ephraim. Says, no, the Rambam really held like Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Ran, that the kevan shemivur b'gemara she'ira siba ayidei zeh al shem nincha zeh mehalocha. Says, the Rambam really held that it was that it was not the proper din. In other words, the Rambam got this from some other context. In other words, there's something in the Chag of Purim that's motivating or driving the notion that drinking wine should be part of this experience, but it's not emanating from that statement of Rava. That statement of Rava, with its drastic, shear, that's not where we get the mitzvah to drink on Purim, because that's already a, that's already been rejected. Before we explore that a little further, we have a very important Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah, now let's just get to Halacha Lamaisa. Halacha Lamaisa, so what do we do? So it's a challenge, because we have a very, very strong Mahalach in the Rishonim that this is not a din at all. Certainly, it's not a din that you have to go all the way to the point that you're drunk, right? That's what it sounds like. The challenge is that the Rif and the Rambam and the Tur, these are not small. These are not shittas that we usually... I mean, if we applied that logic to the rest of Halacha, it would look very different, right? We don't generally dismiss those opinions. Those are serious, strong opinions. So the Mishnah Berurah in his Bir Halacha... So first of all, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch. Did I have the Shulchan Aruch in here?
Yeah.
Where's the Shulchan Aruch? Oh, I'm missing a page. Why am I missing a page? Oh, I missed the whole thing. Oh, I have to tell you the Abu Draham, and then we'll get to the Shulchan Aruch. Source number 14. No one else is missing that page? Okay. This is not the kind of share where you want to be missing a page. Right? So let me just tell you the Abu Draham. The Abu Draham says the following. This is what I wanted to point out. Sorry. So he says, where does this all come from? That he should get drunk on Purim. So ridiculous. It's a terrible thing. Where does this come from? Here's the most important statement. Shekol hanisim shenasal Yisrael b'me'ach Achashverosh. All of the nisim that were done to the Jewish people in the days of Achashverosh, hayu al yedei mishteh, happened through parties. Ki b'tzchilo nitrida Vashti mina malchus al yedei mishteh hayai. How did Vashti end up being deposed? It was through a series of events that unfolded as the result of a party of wine. Shenema b'yom ha'shvi'i ketov lev ha'melech b'yayin. Amar lo havias Vashti. Bring Vashti. Uba Esther tachteh. How did Esther end up? Al yedei mishteh. V'yas melech mishteh gadol chasar v'adol. It's mishteh Esther. To celebrate Esther's ascension to the queen. V'chein in yin haman u'mapalos al yedei mishteh. Ha'yayin ha'ya. Also, all the parties that Esther made that she invited Haman to, that ultimately resulted in the unraveling of his plan. This is a very important source. The Abu Draham says, the reason why wine plays such a central feature in Purim is not because we're very happy. And when we're very happy, we drink wine. That's ridiculous. We don't have that anywhere. We're very happy when you see us Mitzrayim. We don't get drunk. We have Dalet Kosos, but we don't get drunk. We're very happy on Shavuos that we got Kabbalah Satorah. We don't get drunk. We're very happy on Sukkot. We had an Anei Yakovid. We don't get drunk. We're very happy on Chanukah. We don't get drunk. Who's ever heard of such a thing? There's a Mitzvah Simcha and all these holidays. We don't get drunk. Who's ever heard of such a thing? The answer is that there's something unique about Purim. Purim, the transitional moments of Purim, the critical and fundamental moments of Purim, the moments of Purim that ultimately allowed us to reach a point of salvation, all occurred in the context of Mishteh. And we're going to explore the hashkafic meaning of that in a moment. And so therefore, says the Abu Draham, that's the reason for the Shtiyas Hayayin. The Shulchan Aruch says, and source number 16, Chayavinish Livsumei Bepuria Adelo Yoda Ben Ara Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. Shulchan Aruch paskins the din of the Gemara straight. Just like the Rif, just like the Tur, really just like the Rambam. Then the Ramah adds, V'yesh Omrim, De'ein Sarech Lishtaker Kolkach. You don't have to get that drunk. Ela Yishte Yoser Milimudo. Drink a little bit more than you usually drink. V'yishan, and go to sleep. And then the Ramah adds something that we didn't see anywhere. We thought this going to sleep was a shear for being drunk. And the Aruch HaShulchan said, ah, you see, the Rambam rejected the Gemara. Because the Rambam left out the Or HaMan Baruch Mordechai. Shir, right? Because the Rambam didn't mention that. He mentioned you go to sleep. The Rambam has a new angle. The Rambam says, no. Umitoch sheyoshan eina yodea bein Or HaMan Baruch Mordechai. Since you're sleeping, since you're unconscious, you don't know the difference between Or HaMan and Baruch Mordechai. So since you're not even awake, so that's what the Gemara meant. Ad lo yoda bein Or HaMan Baruch Mordechai, and that's the Rama's interpretation or combination of the Kolbo and the Rambam and all these other opinions, bringing them together. And that's the din. The Mishnah Brura, now that we're in source 18, so the Mishnah Brura in his Bir Halacha basically writes, if you look at the second section, Ad lo yoda, he quotes the Meiri, and then he's very, very strong that even if you're going to do this mitzvah, actually look at the Mishnah Brura on the last of the wide lines. Mikamakum yira lios zahir b'inyan netilas yadayim b'birchas hamotzi b'birchas hamazon simcha shal mitzvah. And he basically says that, you know, there's no heter to get drunk to the point that you are not going to observe any of the mitzvos that are much more central to Jewish life, like Netilas Yadayim, Birchas HaMazon, which is Doraisa, Davening Mincha Mariv. You know, that's not an excuse whatsoever. The Chayei Adam adds, Hayodeya Be'atzmo Sheyizalzil Oz B'mitzvah Min HaMitzvos. If you know you're going to be mezalzil in a mitzvah, even Netilas Yadayim, Ubracho Birchas HaMazon, O Shelo Yispal Mincha HaMariv, you're not going to daven Mincha HaMariv, O Sheinoi Kalos Rosh, he adds in, or you're just going to act in a frivolous way, you're not going to act in a reverent way. Mutav shelo yishtaker v'chol masav yu l'shem shamayim. Okay. So that's the din. So do we drink on Purim? So it's pretty clear in halacha. Certainly, you can't do anything that's going to be dangerous or unhealthy. That's clear. You also can't do anything that's going to compromise in any way your observance of Torah and mitzvos and your presence of mind in terms of how you treat people, ben adam lamakom, ben adam lachavero, how you speak to people, how you act. Certainly none of that could be compromised whatsoever. Even within that rubric, even if you're 100% sure that whatever you're drinking is not going to lead to compromises in any of those areas, it's also clear that it's not an obligation, right? It's also clear that even though the Gemara presents it as an obligation, that it could definitely be argued that if there's any concern whatsoever that it's going to lead to anything inappropriate, it's not an obligation, and it's certainly not an obligation to take to the point that you're going to ultimately do something dangerous or do something unhealthy or do something that compromises your spirituality. If a person is really in control of all of those factors and is controlling for all of those factors and wants to integrate drinking wine in the context of their Purim Suda, so that's a noble thing. That's not, we can't pretend, we can't expel this from the corpus of Jewish life. If it's done responsibly, it's done appropriately, and it's done legally, and it's done with a sense of reverence for what it is, and it's done contextually to what Purim is really about, person understands what's going on here, then it's a part of the Simchas HaPur. But what do we drink? So Rashi says in Megillah, it's Beferish Rashi. Rashi says, Liv Sume, look at the last line of Rashi in source 20, Lishtaker b'yayin, you drink yayin, you drink wine. Why wine? Because let's remember, this is not about getting drunk. This is about recreating the Seudos of Nisim, of Achashverosh, of Esther, of Amon, of Mordechai, of Vashti. That's what this is about. This is like a, this is almost a Chayev Adam Laharos Esatzmo, Kilu Yotzim Mitzray. This is a recreation, which we do often in the context of our holidays. We wear white on Rosh Hashanah to relive the din in Shemayim, the Yom HaMisa. We decorate our shul on Shavuos to recreate our Sinai. Pesach, certainly we relive the experience of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We throw makos at each other, whatever else we do, right? There are lots of things we do to relive Chanukah. We light the menorah. We relive we eat the sufganiyot, right? To bring ourselves to a level of coronary blockage that they had by Amimah Haim Bazman Hazeh, right? We know, we do things to recreate what goes on. But we don't just stam allow ourselves to, you know, to unravel. So source 21 is from a Tzvi Pesach Frank. He interprets from the Rambam Shashtichu that the Tzrichu Liyos Davka B'Yayin V'lo B'Shar Dvarim, that you can't use anything else other than wine. And he also says, because ultimately this was all about the Mishteh, and the Mishteh happened with Shtiyas Yayin. In the Mo'adim Uzmanim, that's of Sternbach, in source 22, he says in the second half where it says, Avalid Varenu, he says also, this is all about Mishteh. This is all about recreating the Mishteh. And then he says, look at the last two lines. But today, says something very mechudashtik. He says, what's the din? What's the purpose of this mitzvah? To recreate the Mishteh. To recreate the Mishteh of Achashverosh? No, you're not recreating the Mishteh. We don't know what the Mishteh of Achashverosh looked like. We don't know what the menu was. We don't know what the decor was. We know that they had a Mishteh of Malchus. What's a Mishteh of Malchus today? If you go to the White House, right? Which is Malchus, right? So you walk into the White House and you're going to have a meal, right? So they'll probably serve some wine, and people will probably drink some wine. It's done as a regal, right, beautiful thing to do. But would people get drunk? First of all, you don't need to be drunk, right? But would people get drunk? Would people get drunk? Maybe some of us would get drunk to try to deal with that situation. I don't know, right? Would people get plastered drunk? Is that how people? Is that how malachim? Is that how kings have a mishteh? No. So says of Sternbach, then there's no mitzvah to drink like that today. The mitzvah is to do whatever is normally done in a malchus of that type of a, that's a very mechudashtik psak, a very interesting psak. So what about the deeper meaning of all of this? Why are we doing this? What's the purpose of involving wine at all? So I want to share with you a few insights to that question. First comes from Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok writes the following in his Divrei Sofrin. Purim ulibsumi adalo yada shehu ha'odar ad hadas mikomakom hu tovik ba shamis barach me'atzmo beloshum hishtadlus shemitzara chokma vayediyu hu misponenu makir amitus ha'shamis barach k'mo b'shas matan Torah. I'll tell you, summarize for you basically what he says. What he says is the following. And this kind of summarizes a number of these sources that follow. Maharal also. It's a very deep idea, but it's a very important idea, a very important message of Purim. We know that in Megillas Esther, right, Hashem's name doesn't come up once. But we know that all over Megillas Esther is Hashem's name. And that's part of what the Avoda of Purim is. The Avoda of Purim is to appreciate the unfolding drama of Jewish history as being divinely guided, even when it's not overt. The ability to look into the events of the day and perceive the Hashkachas Hashem as God guides the unfolding of world events. So when you, the mashal we used to give is open the newspaper. But today we say, when you go online, right? And you start scrolling through your news stories. And you're seeing this thing's happening and that thing's happening and this peace deal and this guy's being put into this place. You don't read these stories as simply news stories. You don't say to yourself, look, you know, there's a from Jew over here, and there's a this guy over there, and the conservative is getting in over here, and this relationship is changing in Israel. You don't just read these stories and pontificate on the political dynamics that are influencing the unfolding of these events. The message of Purim is to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to see God in these unfolding realities. That's what Purim's about. What stops us from doing that? What stops us from doing that is our own intellectual ingenuity. Is that when we look at events, and we look at history, and we look at politics, and we look at, you know, general just world affairs, we comment, we interpret, we analyze, right? And we know what's going on. We know why the Islamic fundamentalists are doing this, and we know why the Palestinians are doing that, and we know why the Israeli government's here, and the pressures on Netanyahu. We have a whole mahalich to explain. Sometimes you listen to these commentators, and they just sound so ridiculous, because they're describing entire countries as if they're like thinking people. Russia, first they thought this, then they thought that, then they said this, then they said that, then they thought this other thing, and then they came to this conclusion. And you're like, it's not a referendum. You're talking about a foreign policy that's an outcome of hundreds of people, you know, working throughout a very complex governmental system. So it's our power of analysis that allows us to remove HaKadosh Baruch Hu from being the divine orchestrator of everything that's unfolding. Says Rav Tzadok, says the Maharal, the purpose of drinking on Purim is to dull our perceptive senses a little bit, so that we stop seeing the world only through our own human interpretation, and we could see it for what it is, which is an unfolding of Hashkachas Hashem. And that is why we drink a little bit on Purim. So that we don't know all the answers. We're not such chachamim. We're not such nevonim. That we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately moving all of these things forward, moving all of these things around. And I think that's a very powerful idea. That's a very powerful concept, that we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind everything. If you turn to Source 25, the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Huttner, you look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down. About Geulas Purim. He talks about the difference between the Geula of Purim and the Geula of other Moadim. And he says the redemption of Purim is unique because Limda es Atzma lahakir es Anuchi gam bechoshech uvehester. This is a concept we developed in other years. Rav Druckman in his Sefer has a lot on this. That Purim is about Geula within Golus, right? When the Purim story is over, they still live in Persia. They're still in Golus. When the Chanukah story is over, let's remember, they're in the Beis HaMikdash, everybody's happy. All's well that ends well, happily ever after. Purim story ends, they're still in Golus. Purim's about being able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when things are dark, even when things are difficult, even when things are shielded. And to be able to see that light. And so he writes, that's also part of this whole concept, this whole idea of being able to see beyond the here and now, to see beyond what's in front of us and the reality that's in front of us, and to almost construct an alternative reality. And it's very beautiful. There's an article by Rabbi Blau in the Beis Yitzchak that makes this point in another context in the name of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that we know that there's a famous Maimer Chazal that in Yemosa Mashiach, all of the holidays will disappear except for Purim. So he writes, Prat Echad Yishtana. There's one thing that's different. That in the days of Mashiach, listen to this, should be Yemosa Mashiach, Lo Nitzarech Lishtias Yayin V'lo Nikayim Ad Lo Yoda. This is Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. In the days of Mashiach, even though we will have Purim, we won't have drinking. Why? Shebizmaneinu sheyesh tzaros rabos leklal Yisrael. Because today, where there are so many tzaros in klal Yisrael, yesh tzarech b'shtil la'ara simcha b'kirbeinu. How are we supposed to feel simcha and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu if we don't bring ourselves out of that reality for a few minutes? However, aval yimosa Mashiach, Shiyamale ha'olam das Hashem, that the world is filled with das Hashem. V'yeshalom amiti ba'olam, and the world's a place of peace. Tiskayim simcha b'li emtsayim chitzonav ha'itzarech li'ishtakir. We're not going to need wine because we could live the reality. We don't have to construe an alternate reality. The reality is the redemptive reality. So even though we will observe Purim, we won't require this type of transformation. That fits very nicely with Rav Soloveitchik in source number 29, where the Rav compares, I just took a few paragraphs from a much longer essay, but the Rav compares, says, I don't understand, why is it that we don't have this mitzvah of Lishtaker in the Gimel Regalim, right? Where we're focusing on Simcha is a din d'oraisa. Simcha on Sukkos and Shavuos and Pesach is a din d'oraisa. So where is the Simcha of the wine? Where is the chiyuv to get drunk? So he says, no, you don't understand that in the context of the Moadim, Simcha means to be lifnei Hashem. It means you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't need wine. You're in front of God. You don't need to play with your consciousness. On Purim, where we're living in a Hester Panim, where the heroine of Purim is Esther, from Seser, where it's hidden, where we don't see God's name in the Megillah, where we're ending the story in Golos, where we're not in a redemptive environment. So there you need to artificially generate that sense of happiness, that sense of simcha. All that being said, I included on the final page of our Ma'ar Mekomos some of the warnings. And it's, of course, I think in this context, very important for all of us to be aware that alcoholism is a very serious issue, and it's an issue in our community. We have to be very, very careful on Purim to handle drinking very responsibly, to handle it appropriately, to handle it legally, and to make sure that it's something that comes to enhance our Avodas Hashem and not Chas V'Shalom compromise it in any way, shape, or form. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos.